and ready for more discussion. Any more discussion?
All right. Uh-oh. Oh, the Peacemaker's here. Wasn't that a gun, too? Wasn't there a gun named the Peacemaker?
Yes, there was.
Okay.
And it was a big gun.
And you carry it.
What are we chipping away at percentages for? Base this on 100%, and that way you'll make people realize that they might want to live. Give them, leave. Give them $1,000 if you retire. Give them $2,000 or $3,000 when you retire. And if you're wanting to make this work in an aspect of helping the budget, and if you have someone retire that you don't replace, I'd heard this mentioned before. I'd said this before. We're always chipping away at a percentage of monies when, if it's theirs and budgeted in there, 100% of the monies ought to be calculated instead of 20 or 25% or 30 or 40 if the retirement issue is an issue. If it's not, chip away at these monies and you're going to come up to August 31st with nobody retired and no money's taken. So make it 100% of the monies base it on, if you're basing it on $175 at 40%, push that up to the 100% of what it'd be. It'd be $300 or $400 per year, and that would make someone say, "Well, if I leave here, at least I'll have a little bit of fund here to go try to find a job." I think your incentives of what you're doing is great, but I don't think in this day and age, $1,000 was going to take me very far.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to take one of the suggestions from the Peacemaker and change my motion to $190. We'll make it $200 per year. Do I need to repeat the whole motion? But what I'll do is say the same motion, any employee, full-time employee in the payroll system that the retirement compensation would be $200 for each year of service completed. We will. I'll still leave it at October 31st sunset of this policy. So everything else the same, just changing it to $200. Got that? Does that explain well enough to the two commissioners?
Okay. All you're changing is the
dollar figure. Yes, sir.
And then, what does that do with the person that just wants to quit? They got the opportunity to draw. They've been working here for a couple of years and they don't like it.
Two completed years, that'd be
$400.
$400.
They'd walk away. They don't like it and they walk away. Just like every other job that there is in the Taney County, there's people that don't like their job or are constantly complaining about their job. So this would be a good chance for their coworkers to say, "Well, why don't you take the money and go then?" Because it happens in the workforce all the time. As a matter of fact, I hear hushes when I walk in the room when they're complaining about it, or walk on a job site and they're complaining about it. So I think that's I'm going to second your motion.
Okay. There we go. There's something.
Danny, you said a while ago when you were felt like you were kind of being pushed that the budget was your main issue. So does this motion not have, don't you have the same concern there as you did on the other?
On the yes, I have the same concern that if a person leaves that we're paying that doesn't want to be here or decides that they want to retire, it is a savings to the budget.
Okay.
Now that's not my total concern, but that is my part of my concern. I think that's what I told Maggie whenever she stepped to the microphone.
Okay. Well, I think Maggie mentioned it, and it had been mentioned before. This is through October, and I I don't feel like that's right to set such a short policy with not a firm intention to carry this on. If I heard in the discussion and the motion that this was to be a long-term thing, I would weigh it a little bit heavier. But since it's just a short thing through October, May through October, and I think Donna made a comment that kind of goes along with that as well, that the rest of the employees, I mean, instead of working on something that is a long-term policy, we're just doing a, what is it, five-month deal, six-month deal? So that just doesn't sit well with me on that reason.
I can understand that part of it myself. I can understand that if we're going to set a policy, then it should be a long term. But I totally don't know where the budget's going to be. And I hate to not have something in place that gives the people an opportunity to don't enjoy their job or are just working here out of necessity for them the chance to look for a job and leave. And these monies give them that opportunity. And the extension of the thing is something I would think about. I think that the renewal and a list of people that might go to their other office holders or department heads and say, look, this is going to affect me, a list of those names would be very important for us to make a decision in October to extend it.
I may have a proposal for you, Chuck.
Okay. I have a question for you proposed.
Go ahead.
And that is, does this include, it says any current full-time employee, does this include elected officials?
No.
Does not include elected officials. Okay. Well, I'm all right with that.
I didn't think about that.
I don't think it should. Okay, your proposal.
How about, this is for discussion. Since I have a second, I can talk about a proposed amendment here. And it, on November 1st, it goes to $150 a year after. You got to remember, I'm...
Would that not be pretty... Why would you change it?
Once again, I got a budget situation. The whole reason I'm trying to get this whole thing through is to see where it sits us in the budget cycle.
He wants people to take the offer, not wait.
That's what he's saying. Okay. I want people. I want to know where people stand for this coming budget year.
If this motion passes, I'll be very pleased that our longtime employees are getting the money, because that is what my goal was. But again, changing it, I think that makes it worse.
Okay.
I think we should be looking past the budget thing to a long-term policy, and we kind of had agreement up on that the other day. I thought that. That was what we wanted. Well, Danny, you just said it.
Well, I said the one-year deal, and you guys jumped on me about it. That's
did we?
Well, anyway. So I just...
I wonder what you're going to stir this time.
Johan.
Sorry about that. I completely agree with Chuck, and I think I said this in Wednesday's meeting. Why are you putting a policy into effect that might possibly, and that was a question I asked earlier, that you're going to turn around and take away? I completely agree with that. As you all know by looking at me, I will be retiring soon. I doubt I'll be retiring unless personnel issues get that way in the budget this year. But I am looking at retirement within the next couple of years anyway. Even though you're offering this, I would be a little bit upset if I decided not to retire this year and want it for next year. Again, we're back to the policy that we're giving it for a few months and we're taking it away. Do you not incorporate in your budget vacation time, holiday time, and sick time. Is that not in your budget that you've already, that cannot be taken away? You got 200 employees. 200 employees get 2 weeks or 1 week vacation, 96 hours a year. Is that not incorporated in your budget when you set your budget? Can you not also incorporate this that knows that this has got to stay into the budget and make budget cuts other ways, whether it's with supplies or employees or whatever have you, instead of giving it to us and taking it back away from us with a deadline?
Actually, sick time isn't in the budget because correct. Sick time only replaces the time that you actually work. There's only a certain amount of work.
So vacation and personalized are in there.
It's all allotted to the salary.
Okay.
And there is no replacement occurring unless there's other things in the budget that will allow you to replace that person for those sick days.
But this is not sick time.
Correct.
This is a retirement. Can it not then be figured into the budget that this has got to stay in just like your vacation and holiday then, personal time?
Your question, can it be? Yes. The answer is it can be, yes. But once it goes back to...
How do you set that figure in your budget? I mean, that would be a question.
Well, you just do a calculation every year.
You do a calculation
of it. If nobody accepts this by November the 1st, then... You pretty well got a situation where you think, well, if nobody's going to accept this, well, then...
Nobody's interested. But they might be the year after, or the year after that, 2 years.
You have a point, Maggie. I'm just trying to figure out... there's a goal I'm trying to achieve, too, and that's what I'm trying to figure out how we get to that. You know, I want to make sure a policy that would be put in place, people take advantage of it. But I don't want to, I'm also wanting them to be in a voluntary situation. But once again, my short-term thinking is I know this fall's budget is going to be, barring a miracle, it's going to be a very, very difficult time. And so that's where my short-term focus is really trying to get through the budget part of this fall. Let me just think, I guess if Donna wants to say something, I just want to think there's another solution.
Well, actually, when James made his comments early, I didn't think that was feasible. But now, understanding what your issue is to trying to decrease personnel for next year's budget by giving an incentive for people who want to retire. So if you were to pay 100% of their remaining salary that's on the budget, that would be a great incentive. And it would be a one-time deal,
so,
1 year. And that I could accept that a whole lot better than I can a temporary policy that's going to be here and then go away, because this is a one-time incentive to help our budget for next year.
So let me put you on the spot since you're up here. So if you had one of your employees retire because of this policy, your office will continue to offer the same service?
No.
Okay.
No, it would have to be in an area. I mean, you wouldn't expect that if somebody who was essential in your office were to retire and you needed to fill that slot, you would fill that slot. But you don't know where that's going to happen, do you? You don't know who is going to take advantage of this in what office, what department, anywhere.
But that's what we keep saying. We're talking about cutting the number of employees.
Right.
But you just said if you lost someone, you couldn't offer the same service.
Well, for me, Chuck, as you know, my budget is cyclical. So next year's budget is going to be less anyway for my office. Would I be able to lose a part-time employee? Maybe. Maybe be able to cut part of that out and still get by. But a full-time employee, probably not.
But only because your office is cyclical, as you said.
It is cyclical. We have to hire part-time help.
If it was a consistent, you didn't have that different elections and all those different things.
And we have the same workload now. We wouldn't be able to let somebody go.
Mr. Straub.
Mr. Commissioner, I would hope that every department head and every elected official would give the same response that Donna just gave.
I would hope so too.
So when we ask every elected official, every department head the same question, they're going to say the same thing, and we'll be at the same place at budget time. And some point in there, we're going to have to force the decision, if that's where, I mean, once again, I'm not saying that's where we're headed that way. I'm not saying that's where we're going to be. But I would hope that we have no non-essential personnel anywhere in any department because of the difficulty we're having. But I would expect the answer that I heard. I mean, I hope to. I hope everyone would say the same thing. So, Miss Linda.
Yes, I do. I need to identify myself.
Linda Reynolds.
Okay. I, as you can tell, I'm about ready to retire too. But you were talking about how you were thinking of just doing it for this year, and I wanted to say, you know, you were saying, well, maybe nobody would take advantage of it this year and we drop it. But when we are looking at retirement, we're also looking at the reports that our retirement plan sends to us, and some of us will not be 62, which is basically when you start getting your full retirement plan, you know, or maybe some of us are just trying to get to 65, so we will be able to have our insurance too, you know. But it might not be this year, but it might be next year. So I hate for you to just drop it if you do implement it this year, just drop it, because we might be looking forward to next year,
right.
You know. So that's one thing I think you need to look at, too, is the ages of your people. Because loggers and those things do ask you to wait till you're at least 62 to draw on. So that was my point.
Thanks, Linda. James?
And I fully understand that Linda has been my employee, of where she's coming from on that. But I also go back to, I hope you gentlemen have enough knowledge and enough respect, and I know you do, to make a good decision. Mr. Strothis has presented this as a hope that it would work. And if it don't work, to adopt a policy that might help destroy the budget of Taney County if held in place for an indefinite number of period of time is not a wise decision. I understand Maggie's point, I understand Linda's point, and I have other employees involved. But this is an experimental time that Mr. Strothis has proposed, not knowing what the future holds, and to adopt something that then could further restrain the budget in future years as to employees replacing retirees or whatever. I applaud you gentlemen for putting a time frame. I hate a policy that's adopted, seen it was wrong right off the start, but we have to sit and devour that thing for years and years because there wasn't an experimental time there. I think you gentlemen make the right decision, and I applaud you. And I see to the people that's getting ready to retire in 2 or 3 years, and I would hope that the county commission would have enough knowledge at the end of this time frame to say, hey, this is a good program and it's going to work. And so let's bring this forward again and adopt it forever. But to put the pressure on them to say, hey, you're going to adopt this, as I'm hearing up here today, this has been kind of thrown together as an experimental time frame to see if it's going to work and what is going to happen. But then to go back and say, no, we've decided at this point that this is permanent forever. I don't agree with that in government. And I applaud you gentlemen for putting a time frame on it to see if it's good government or if it's bad government.
Well, to tag on James' comments, that's why I feel like the idea of following something that's been used by governments, which was my motion, it wasn't my idea. I mean, I plagiarized it. It's there. These other counties are doing this. So, in a way, I agree with you. I think we ought to stick with something that's been used for a number of years and played out. Other comments?
Chuck, and maybe this is the wrong time to ask you, but have you checked since you talked to them how this is affecting? Because every place, I know Webster County is down 20%. I heard that on the news the other day. Have you explored where they're at in their budget now, how this is going to affect their budgets?
Well, I look at that, Danny, is...
I mean, did you talk to him about when you
talked to him about this? No, I haven't talked to him. No. I don't see a need to, really, because up until the current economic situation that everybody's in, this has been used by lots of different places. I'm confident of it. I've seen it in the documents, and it's worked out. I mean, experience has showed that it's worked out. So to ask if I've talked to these other places, I'm sure that everybody's looking at all their programs, whether this one or how many employees or blah, blah, blah. Everybody's looking at that. Everybody's facing that. Whether it's 20%, as you mentioned, or like ours, it's 1.5% or whatever we are. So I don't see that that would play in at this point.
Well, I see that it would play in because they may be looking to try to figure out a way to get rid of it or do away with it.
But that's like anything else.
If we weren't in the economic times that we're in right now, we wouldn't even be having this discussion.
Well, that confirms what I'm saying. The practice that's been done by those other entities for these years, if we weren't in this, that's what we all, I mean, it's played out. Why reinvent the wheel? No matter what happens, the budget is going to affect us, and it's going to affect other counties as well. No question about it. Everybody's going to have to face it.
Let me ask a question. It's not what you guys have a motion on right now, but if the 480 hours and paying half after, you know, if it were half after 10 years, someone like me would get 240 hours of sick time that I could get paid for right now if I retired. And that would go for everybody else that has 480 hours currently. And then we wouldn't be able to do away with that. So aren't we all getting 200, anybody that has 480 hours is getting a cash value of half of their sick hours that is in the bank that they can cash upon retirement, even if we change our policy later? Or are you saying that we're going to start accruing that from this point on, that we're not going to get value for our 480 hours, that it's only the 480 hours that's earned after today?
Now, I'm not understanding your point, but no, it's on where they are today.
So basically you'd be awarding everybody right away 240 hours, if they had 480 hours.
Yes.
240 hours of sick time that's cashable on retirement.
As it stands today, yes, if they retire today, but 6 months from now they may have the car wreck and they may use those hours up.
Right.
Or have an illness or whatever. I'm not following where you're headed there, but well, yes, my motion was the hours they have today, yes. And so it would be an additional benefit, no question about it, to everyone that has built up sick time and is retiring.
And I'm just saying the increased potential cost is half of all the sick time on the books right now.
Exactly. Yeah, and we've talked about that and looked at it. Don's brought us the figures, and
okay.
And I've thought.
Sure, you looked at the figures.
Yes, and I've thought about that some. I visited with Don yesterday on that, of how many to our liability, how many folks would be possible to expect to retire, and that might be 10 employees in a year's time. Not just this year, but in years out. And that's just a guess. I mean, I can't nail it down, but Don and I visited, looked at that some, and that's what I came up with.
I think she had the top 20, didn't she?
No, this. I'm just saying this year and next year, we've had two or three mentioned talking about retiring maybe next year or another year after that. Just a wild guess is that we're looking at that kind of liability, which would be around a $30,000, maybe $40,000 hit to the budget.
Each year? Or?
Each year. If there was like 10 people took it.
But that
depending on how many hours. I mean, it depends. how many hours they've got built up, whether they're full 480 or half of that or whatever. I'm just guessing. I mean, these are, I can't, but it's to your point that, yes, it's going to affect our budget, no question about that.
I'm going to make sure on my motion clarification that this was not part of the elected officials. Danny, yeah. You're second that. So let me modify my motion.
It couldn't be anyway.
It can't, but, right?
No.
Okay. The other thing is,
statutorily,
and brought up another question, as Bob's talking, we've got a number of salaried employees that don't have sick time, right?
I don't believe that's true.
That's not true?
Well, it's that there's a gray area. I researched it with Lynette. There's a gray area. It's not legally, it's not legal for us not to do that. So if we have that policy, it's not a policy. There's no policy, but some reason there's a few selected, just a few selected elected, non-elected salary employees that don't get sick time accrued. That's not legal. That I don't know if it's right now time to do it, to talk about that, but when I was digging into, when I pulled some sick time, I didn't see some names on it, got a report and found out there was a select eight or nine that don't accrue sick time, which is not right. So
you can't select certain persons for not having sick time.
That's trying to, that will be addressed in the handbook that Lynette's working.
So you're saying we have salaried, eight or nine salaried employees that don't have sick time.
They're not eligible for some reason.
Which was what I thought all of them were.
Uh-huh.
But you're saying we have other salaried employees that are accruing sick time?
That's what my understanding, yes.
I see Rick questioning that with his look on his face.
I thought that anybody was salaried.
You thought with everyone who's salaried that they all do not?
I was under the impression that anyone that's salaried did not accrue sick time.
I'll look at my list. And brought it up. I had a list, and there were some names missing off one of the lists, and they were on another list. And in talking to Lynette, she said that all employees are supposed to have sick time, and you can't select.
They may have sick time, but they wouldn't accrue any because we wouldn't probably keep track of what they used and what they didn't, if that makes any sense.
Right, but I think
they have time to be sick.
Yeah, they have time to be sick,
paid,
yeah. And that would go
no
back to you.
Yeah.
In your Fair Labor Standards Act, you would have to allow them sick time. Mm-hmm. Actually, if a salaried person is gone more than a certain amount of time in a week, you can actually not pay them on a daily basis for that week. Well, if they were sick, you couldn't do that because they were sick.
Well,
and that's probably
the
why
policy, the policy.
How do you get into
policy, as Lynette looked at it currently, on those few select, is we're very vulnerable in those situations. So the revision that she's coming back with is everyone has to be accruing sick time. Now, that's a different discussion than this right now.
Yeah, then
I'm not prepared for this discussion.
So,
well,
I'm pretty sure that was
You brought that up, Chuck. What was it?
What I've been trying to sell and what you all are looking at is going to affect both of them.
Correct.
I hadn't thought of them until Bob was talking. I'm looking at him, and I'm knowing his situation. And we got a number of different other administrators that are in the same spot. I've argued for years that we get rid of the salary to pay them their time because part of it was that.
And I could argue the other. Let's pay everybody's salary.
Now. Maybe from what you're saying, we'll get some.
Yeah, but exempt versus not exempt, there's guidelines for that. And
I know there's guidelines.
You don't want to pay me time and a half. That
sometimes I don't want to.
But my argument, you've heard me say it a dozen times, Bob, is if you're working way more than the 40 hours, I don't think we're treating you right. But that's just my opinion. All right.
Do we, gentlemen? I know that we're having this discussion today. Is there one thing that we could compromise on and not have to make it? Such a critical decision today. We've talked about the May 1st issue. We've talked about all these other things that we weren't aware of that Lynette's working on through the HR department. Is there one thing that we could accomplish today that would set and stone.
To answer your question, I think if I was to take away the expiration date, I think Chuck would lean toward adopting this policy. I'm not saying that, but I think I would get a vote from, he possibly would vote for it if I took away the expiration date. If I was reading between the lines of an earlier comment you made. It's not what you wanted, but you would lean toward it.
I'd probably ask for a recess and go think about it. Because, again, my point is we've got a policy. We've got companies out there going the other direction
right. That's
experienced, and we're talking about trying something new. So I'm not saying I wouldn't, but I'd ask for a recess. And
if I change the motion. Well, one thing that I would point out, there's some organizations right now who have sick policies are all starting to transition to PTO also, though. I mean, there's a big shift in the world going away from sick time, and everything goes to PTO, planned time off, or paid time off. So, I see a revision over the next, there's a shift anyway. So I guess with all that said, I'm going to call for the vote then.
Okay, is there any more discussion? Reading my Roberts rules, we don't have to vote. I mean, if y'all vote that we have to vote, if we got a 2-3 vote to vote, we do. But
right.
If we're, I don't want us to be pushed into it. I think Danny made a comment earlier about that. If you're ready to vote, though, I'll call the vote.
I go back to my question before that.
Okay.
You call for a vote, but I would like to say, is there one thing that we could set in concrete, the date-wise, of when this would take effect, to where we would not have to make that decision today? I heard May 1st from, I think, both of you gentlemen.
You can't make it retroactive. What you can do is create a policy that incorporates certain criteria. It still goes into effect today. Now, whatever the criteria is could include those people from May 1st, but I can't say you can't. Bob, I don't think, has researched going retroactive on a policy. I know the federal government can do it now and then, but an IRS does it all the time. But other than that, I don't know. I don't think I want to go there. That's why I was trying to be all-inclusive with my statement of, if they're in the payroll system now, that's how I got around that May 1st potential date.
And we've had time to think about this, but there's been lots of issues brought up today. And we've had conversation, and that's the reason I was wanting to. If this didn't affect the May 1st date, and Bob is one looking there, if it didn't affect it, I would rather have the discussion next Thursday or Friday or whatever, and have time to. I'd like to look at. I'd like to call these counties that Chuck has brought up and see how it's affecting them.
And if that's what you guys want to do, you have that prerogative. I mean, that's not a deal.
It's
whatever you guys want to do.
And I'd like to call Webster County's down 20% and say, look, what have you eliminated?
Okay.
We're not in that position. But, I'd like to call the ones that were down 10%, 7%, and say, what has these policies, how have they affected your county government?
Okay, I got a question. If we don't act on this today, then
if it doesn't go retroactive, I know one person that you're wanting to consider. If it's not retroactive, won't be able to be considered for sure.
Not retroactive. You're talking about
if it doesn't go retroactive.
No, the policy.
If you wait till next week.
If you wait till next week.
More than one, isn't it?
One. I think it's just one that will be affected by this. But once again, if you want to wait, that's fine. I brought forward my proposal because I did not want to. I was not going to sign off on a sick leave policy that we were discussing on Wednesday. I just couldn't do it, and that's where I came from. So if you guys want to wait, that's fine too. Not a deal. James?
I'm concerned with the deadline. I think you need to react within the next hour. I think you need to make your decision. But I definitely am opposed to any recommendation coming out of Pettis County. they've been a thorn in this county's side for ever since the beginning of time, and Pettis County, what they're doing up there is totally off the state marks anyhow.
You were doing so well for Peacemaker. You were three out of four still 75%.
Here's the old James back.
James, welcome back.
Well, I'll second the motion to call for a vote then.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. Motion carries. All right. We've got, I think we're still open to administrative. I hope so. Has there been any more discussion on the RTU 10 coil? Because we left that up in the open, if I remember right.
Is that for your air conditioner?
Yes.
Yeah, we did not discuss the coil unit. I mean, we basically, you're right, we left it up in the open.
So I got an email, you all got an email from Renee, I think, where we are. So should we, for today, let her know that we're still up in the air about it?
You want to post it for Tuesday?
That's fine.
Let's post it for Tuesday on that.
Okay.
I had conversation with Phil and with...
right.
I mean, I've had conversations, but nothing to benefit saying nobody's given any I'll help you out situations.
Okay. So we're not, bottom line is we're not ready to answer.
No.
No.
Okay, that's what I was digging for.
Yeah.
I should have been more clear.
I do need to leave. I've got a kid to pick up.
All right. Happy Memorial Day weekend to you.
Okay.
Recess.